Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at a really specific release, a brand that's, you know, actively trying to shake things up in specialized fashion.
Yeah, it's quite focused.
Our mission today is to really unpack the Drop One collection from AD Atelier. They're based in Sydney, and their work seems designed to make us rethink how high-impact styles can integrate.
It's interesting right off the bat, isn't it?
Yeah.
AD Atelier, their whole identity seems very clear. Edgy latex fashion. That's the core.
Right.
But looking at the source material, it seems their goal is more than just the look. They're really focused on making pieces that are, quote, unique and daring.
And they also want to push limits and boundaries. That phrase keeps coming up.
Exactly. It's baked into their mission statement, it seems.
And maybe that boundary pushing is all summed up in the big question the collection seems to be asking. Just how audacious can latex clothing be?
That's a great framing question. It really sets the tone, doesn't it? It suggests the audacity isn't just, hey, look, it's latex, but maybe how and where you wear it.
Yeah, stretching its application, perhaps.
Precisely. And calling it Drop One. That's interesting, too. Not a collection or line in the traditional sense.
Yeah, the source calls it an eclectic assemblage of bold cuts. What does that signal to you?
Well, assemblage sounds modular. Like, pieces meant to work together, but also maybe stand alone or mix with other things.
Yeah.
It points towards that idea of marrying versatility with trend setting.
Okay, versatility. That feels like a key point to analyze. It suggests that these aren't just, you know, one-wear wonders for a special event. They're designing them to be integrated.
That seems to be the implication.
Yeah.
Designing for longevity and integration, moving past that sort of niche occasion wear mindset, maybe?
Which, if that's the goal, the look itself still needs to be strong enough to make an impact, right? It needs to anchor whatever outfit it's part of.
Absolutely. And that probably brings us to the colors they've chosen. Definitely not playing it safe there.
No, the source says they're ready to shout from the rooftops.
Which sounds about right. We're talking bold reds.
Uh-huh. And metallic ice blues. Very futuristic feel.
Right. And then grounding it all is this iconic, translucent, smoky black.
That smoky black sounds particularly interesting. It's not the standard high gloss black latex we often see.
Exactly. That translucence adds texture, maybe a bit of shadow play. It moves it beyond just pure shine, makes it almost sculptural.
Sculptural. And maybe that makes it easier to pair with other fabrics, like things that aren't shiny. Wool, maybe, or denim.
That could be it. It creates kind of softness, or at least a different texture, that might bridge the gap to more conventional materials. It sets up a contrast.
Yeah, a contrast that makes those bold reds and the metallic ice blue pop even more. It feels very deliberate.
Oh, absolutely. The whole collection seems engineered to spark conversation, even down to specific little details like the accessories. Did you see the mention of the bow choker?
I did. It sounds kind of playful, maybe provocative, especially layered onto what seem like quite sleek, maybe structured designs.
Provocative, but maybe with a wink. It's statement dressing, definitely, but feels very precisely done.
Which leads us to, well, the key looks. Every collection launch needs its hero outfit, right? The image that grabs you.
Right, the anchors. And the designer seems to have pinpointed one specific combination as the sort of visual powerhouse for this launch.
Okay, let's talk anchors. The source highlights one pairing as a force to be reckoned with. That's pretty strong language.
It is. And that pairing is the smoky Mona belt skirt with the Clara top.
Mona belt skirt and Clara top. Okay. And they're predicting this specific combo will no doubt be responsible for causing quite a stir.
We should probably dig into why they think that, not just take their word for it. Why these two?
Well, if the skirt is that smoky black we talked about,
right,
that provides the base, right? That textured, maybe more subtle foundation.
Makes sense. So the Clara top must be where the immediate punch comes from. Either it's in one of the really bold colors, the red or the blue, or maybe the cut itself is super dramatic.
So it's like a controlled contrast. High impact, but anchored. Ensuring that first visual impression is really memorable.
Seems very strategic. But the real insight here, especially for you listening, might not just be the big statement looks, but how the brand actually intends for you to wear the whole collection. The source talks about two main ways.
Ah, okay. This gets back to that versatility idea.
Exactly. Method one is probably what you'd expect, the full power look. Pairing the new pieces with other latex garments from Drop One. Maximum impact, full latex saturation.
Right, the head-to-toe look.
But method two is where it gets interesting, I think. It explicitly says the collection is designed to complement existing apparel from the AD Atelier back catalog.
Oh, that's smart. So they're not trying to make their older stuff obsolete. They're building an ecosystem, a wardrobe system.
Precisely. It encourages loyalty and investment over time. It's building a modular system.
And pushing that modular idea even further, they seem to have pieces specifically designed to bridge the gap between latex and, well, normal clothes.
Yes. And the Alita leggings seem to be the prime example of this. Functional audacity, you could call it.
Okay, the Alina leggings. Let's dig into the details here. Because if you're used to styling, say, leggings made of pont knit or even faux leather, how do these latex leggings make that jump into a mixed material outfit work?
It seems to be down to specific design choices. The source points out two key things. A low-rise fit.
Okay, low-rise.
And sculpted lingerie-style paneling. Now, that paneling sounds crucial.
Lingerie-style paneling. How does that work on leggings?
Well, think about structured lingerie. It shapes and supports. This paneling likely adds seams and structure that move the leggings away from just being simple skin-tight tubes. It gives them more of a tailored architectural quality.
Ah, I see. So it's not just relying on the stretch of the latex itself. The seams, the panels give it shape and definition even when it's not stretched over a body.
Exactly. It ensures the fit is supportive and, as the source says, designed to flatter and enhance the body rather than just clinging. It holds its own shape to a degree.
Okay, that makes sense. That structure plus the low-rise cut, that explains why they offer distinctive styling opportunities.
Right. Suddenly, you can genuinely picture them with, say, a big chunky knit sweater falling over the top, or maybe a sharp blazer, or even like a denim jacket.
Yeah, totally. So they become ideal for wearing with non-latex clothing. And the source also mentions other shiny alike, which is interesting, maybe pairing them with silks or patent leather accessories.
Could be. It opens up possibilities beyond just all latex or no latex.
Yeah.
It allows the latex piece to be this powerful, maybe textural base layer.
The source sums up the vibe as sleek and powerful with just a hint of tease.
Which is a great description, isn't it? It acknowledges the inherent edge of latex, the tease, but frames it as just a hint. It's part of the look, not the whole story.
Sleek, powerful, hint of tease. Mm-hmm. Specialized fashion engineered for, well, maybe not every day, but for integration into a real wardrobe.
Yeah. Which brings up a point, though.
Go on.
If the brand is all about being edgy, isn't making it super integrable, super wearable with normal clothes, isn't that kind of diluting the edge? Or are they just changing what edgy means here?
That's a good question. Maybe the edge isn't just the material itself anymore. Maybe the audacity is in making it work seamlessly with, I don't know, a cotton t-shirt.
I think that's closer to it. It actually takes quite a bit of design skill, more maybe, to make a latex piece that integrates beautifully with wool or cotton than just making something that screams, look at me, I'm latex. They're aiming for market share, perhaps, through functional audacity. Making the extreme practical.
Functional audacity. I like that. And speaking of function and market share, we need to touch on the business side of this launch, too.
Right, because the clothes didn't just appear out of nowhere.
No, the collection launch happened at the exact same time as they debuted a brand new website.
Which is super important, especially for niche or specialized materials like this. The online shopping experience is critical. People aren't just picking this up off a rack at the mall.
True. So the website needed an upgrade. The goals were pretty clear. An updated look, sure, but also easier navigation and checkout process, all aiming for that seamless shopping experience.
Standard e-commerce goals, really.
Yeah.
But there's one detail mentioned that feels extra important in this context.
Which is?
The inclusion of additional info for each garment. Why do you think that specific detail gets called out?
Well, with latex, additional info probably isn't just machine wash cold, right?
Exactly. It's likely about specific care, how to wash it, how to store it so it doesn't degrade, maybe dressing aids like talc or lube, potential allergens. It's specialized knowledge.
So by providing that info upfront and easily accessible, the brand is showing they understand the material and are supporting the customer beyond just the initial purchase. It builds trust.
Precisely. It shows they're serious, committed to the customer's long-term use and investment in what are likely quite expensive pieces. It signals a certain maturity.
Yeah, it moves them from just being a cool niche designer to being a serious high-end retailer who understands the product lifecycle.
And if we zoom out a bit, the context provided by the source itself, Latex 247, is also really telling.
How so?
Well, the fact that this news appears on a site like that places AD Atelier within a specific ecosystem. The source mentions that the site tracks other big names in the latex world, like Chronomatic and Libidex.
Ah, okay, so these are established players, competitors, presumably.
Yeah, likely bigger, more established brands. Mm. So positioning AD Atelier alongside them is significant. It frames them not just as a new indie brand, but as a potential challenger, someone operating at that level.
Right. Launching a collection and a revamped e-commerce platform and getting mentioned with the big names, it signals ambition. They're aiming for growth, for a bigger slice of the pie.
Absolutely. And it shows this isn't just a flash in the pan, this niche, this industry. It's active. It's competitive. That's why the source site doesn't just report news. It has sections like style guides, interviews, practical tips. There's a whole conversation happening.
And AD Atelier with Drop One is essentially contributing new ideas and, well, new data points to those style guides, aren't they? Showing new ways to wear the material.
Exactly. It suggests this Drop One collection isn't just about pretty clothes. It's a calculated move within this specific fashion landscape. It's aiming to set a trend, yes, but also maybe capture market share through that better customer experience and this engineered versatility.
It makes you wonder about influence, too. If a brand like AD Atelier successfully pushes this idea of blending latex with everyday wear, does that pressure other brands in the space to follow suit?
It could. They're demonstrating that these high-impact, often subculture-associated materials don't have to stay confined to, you know, bespoke orders or costumey looks. They're making a case for practicality.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. What are the key takeaways here? What really defines this AD Atelier Drop One approach?
Well, I think first, it's that strategic visual contrast. You've got the loud colors, the red, the metallic blue, but they're balanced and grounded by that sophisticated, textured, smoky black.
Right, the color story is key. What else?
Then there's the tailoring. The cuts seem really intentional, incorporating details like that lingerie-style paneling for structure and the low-rise fit on pieces like the Alina leggings, specifically designed for styling flexibility.
And that flexibility, that versatility, feels like the absolute core message, doesn't it?
It really does. The collection seems fundamentally designed to be modular, to let you integrate that sleek and powerful latex element into a much wider range of outfits, mixing materials freely.
It's basically an invitation, isn't it? An invitation to bring specialized fashion into your regular style rotation.
Yeah. Which leads us to a final thought, maybe something for you listening to mull over.
Okay.
Think about those Alina leggings again. A piece of latex clothing specifically engineered to pair seamlessly with non-latex items. That feels like a pretty big shift.
A paradigm shift, maybe.
Perhaps. So if this kind of boundary-pushing fashion is now being designed not just to stand out, but to integrate and be versatile in an everyday way, What does that signal about where personal style boundaries are heading? Is the really audacious move in fashion today not just creating something shocking or daring on its own, but making that daring piece also incredibly practical, maybe even the most wearable, integratable item you own? What does that do to our ideas of edgy versus everyday?